Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everybody and welcome to episode 81 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. A two-segment show today. The first bit is an update and a behind-the-scenes glimpse into the premium site from Kelvin, plus a little treat at the end. And the second segment is me talking to Dan about Twitter and Google Analytics tracking tips. All coming up on Internet Marketing.
Regular listeners to the podcast will be aware that a few months ago we launched a premium service as an offshoot of the Internet Marketing Podcast. Now, that was essentially a membership community where you could sign up, get access to daily 10-minute training videos, which were normally kind of screencasts, so they would be where we would, record us carrying out a particular internet marketing tactic. So that might be things like showing you how to make your website more sticky, or how to create a Google local listing, or how to do backlink analysis, or all kinds of different topics, really. And that's up on the website, http://premium.internetmarketingpodcast.org. So that's http://premium.internetmarketingpodcast.org. Now, in today's episode, which would normally be kind of one of our brain dump episodes, I wanted to give you a bit more kind of insight in terms of how that process has been running, and also a kind of idea of what we've got planned for that service, and kind of also a little bit of a treat that I hope you guys will appreciate as well. So we launched on June 3rd, and very luckily and very pleasingly, a large number of listeners of the podcast went across and signed up for the introductory offer that we had there on the site. Now, we've built the site using Subhub, which is a membership community CMS that's quite powerful and quite effective. And what we do there is that allows you, that CMS, to create a website where certain content is available to anyone. And on the premium website, there is some free content there that anyone can view. So there's example videos there, but there's also, we've put together like a buyer's guide where we've got recommended suppliers. So who are our best email marketing companies out there? Who are the best analytics packages out there? What are some of the best SEO tools? What's some best WordPress themes and all that kind of thing? So that content's all free and anyone can view there and do that. But also it then has the access to manage the membership database and the PayPal and all the stuff behind that. So people who have signed up, members of the community, can access certain content that, Joe Public can't do. And that's been very successful and it's worked quite well. And on the site, there's different types of content. So the predominant is, like I said, those video training videos. So 5 times a week, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we publish a new video, which is normally between sort of like 8 to 15 minutes long, but normally about 10 minutes in total on a different topic. And also, we also have some best practice documents whereby they're kind of for content that would be really useful but isn't actually available, wouldn't make sense to present as a video, would make sense to present as a document. We've also got best practice documents there, and they're going up at about a rate of about once a week. And they are on topics like checklists or guides to give to your web developer so they can understand how to do things. So like some of the ones we've done recently is a comparison chart between what's the best CMS for an online retailer, checklists of the best WordPress plugins to use, guides to give to like how to migrate your site with a minimum SEO impact, a guide to how to produce an international version of your website and all those different types of things. And also we're kind of introducing training videos, which are different to the screencasts. So that might be a PowerPoint plus some spoken word with that and an explanation like you would get at a conference, or some video, which can sometimes work quite well of just a person speaking, that I think sometimes can be quite effective to communicate a topic as well. And also we've got live chats, which we're planning to do, which will be, and it's a bit difficult planning with time zones, but the plan is that we will be available to answer any particular question of a listener of the Premium Podcast as well. But what actually in the meantime has worked out quite well is we've got a forum in there, and actually that's working quite well to answer people's questions. And what works particularly well about that is you don't only get the people like myself kind of answering and responding to questions, but you also get other members of the community. And that community is a variety of people. We're all over the world with different levels of experience and exposure to internet marketing. And what has really pleased me is the interaction that we're getting with those members of the community in the forum, and where people are helping each other out. So quite often I might not check for a couple of hours at the forum and then have found that someone's put up a new thread and it's already been answered by someone else in the community with a really good recommendation. So that's quite good as well. So the members of the community can pull on and pool collective wisdom of all the people involved. So we use SubHub to manage all that kind of thing, and that's a lot built into their system. And then what we do is we send out daily emails, which are via MailChimp. So that means that I know that sometimes when you're, there's a good website out there producing good content, sometimes difficult to keep up with it. So what we'll do is, in addition to the fact that you can just go onto the site and look back at the archive of any of the video content that's there, we also send out like a daily notification email that lets you know what content's been uploaded that day. And that's using MailChimp, really. And we've kind of kept it fairly simple in terms of it's just a good way of managing the email list when you've got lots of them there. But MailChimp, as we've talked in previous episodes, can do all kinds of fancy super duper stuff. But at the moment, we're just using it to manage the mails of everyone who's currently a member and get that content out to them quickly and efficiently so they can see what we're producing and putting out there. And I suppose the other thing to share about some of the things that have worked quite well is also the video host that we're using. Now, when we started out using the site, we were just hosting the video locally, which worked quite well for people that were based in the UK, because you're near the server, it was loading quite quickly and all that kind of thing. But we've been very fortunate that we've had subscribers to the Premium Podcast all over the world. So, we bill. So this is where we offer payment offers in US dollars, Canadian dollars, New Zealand dollars, Australian dollars, Canadian dollars. I think that covered all those ones there, and euros as well. So we've got people in all those different countries, but then there's other people paying like in US dollars and sterling from all over the world. So for those people that are a little bit further away, that like regular hosting for video didn't work very well. So we explored some other options. And what I wanted to use was a video platform that allowed you to upload video, manage the various different formats and codecs that might be required, because lots of people are viewing the sites on iPhones and iPads, and that was quite difficult to do. You had to produce different versions of the video in order to do that with when you're just uploading the local files. Whereas if you upload these videos to Blip TV, which is a service I'm using, and their premium service, it does three really, really useful things that we weren't able to do by hosting those files locally. So first of all, it'll automatically convert it into an MP3 version, which is really good. So although these screencasts, you kind of need to see a visual element of them to make full value of them, a lot of people were saying, well, if it really, really interests me, I'll watch the video. But in a lot of situations, I prefer to listen to your training elements on those 10 minutes every day while I'm in the car or while I'm on the, the tube or whatnot. So that automatically creates an audio version. So that does mean if you're the kind of person who wants to listen to it while on the move but can't necessarily watch video, i.e. you're in a car driving, that kind of thing, you can listen to an audio version of every podcast. It also automatically creates what's known as an M4V file, which is the video format that the iPad and the iPhone uses. Now, the iPad and the iPhone aren't very flash friendly, so that means a lot of embeddable video players don't work on the iPad. So that's brilliant as well. And also it allows you to host these videos privately if you get a premium subscription to Blip TV, which is good for us. So that means that only the members of the community as sign-up members can get access to them. But also it would work like YouTube. It's a familiar interface that Blip TV use. They handle all the hosting, so it's got super duper content delivery networks. So it should be really quick and easy to access no matter where you are in the world, which has worked really, really well for us. So that's kind of where we're at the moment. We've had quite a lot of success. You know, we've had more people sign up in the first month than we planned in the first 2 months. So we kind of had some, you know, targets that we set ourselves. And month two's gone on to be a very good month as well. So yeah, all very pleasing on that side of things. But I'm aware that for the listeners of the podcast, you know, you're in a variety of different situations, and deciding to make an investment in a training program of any shape or form is quite a major decision, and that makes perfect sense. And we've tried to make that decision a little bit easier by keeping the prices low. So it's kind of, you know, £20 per month in the UK, and then rolls out all the same in the different currencies around the world. And then like an annual price where you get it for 10 times that, but you get 12 months access. So like in the UK, it's, you know, it's £200 for access, whereas if you paid on the monthly, it'd been £240. Now, I still realise for a lot of people, that's a major financial commitment. So what we wanted to do was to try and make it easier for people to understand exactly where we were coming from with the premium podcast. So how I did that and how we are doing that is now if you visit the homepage, so if you go to premium.internetmarketingpodcast.org, so that's premium.internetmarketingpodcast.org, we've got a nice video there explaining what's going on, but that in many ways sort of talks about what we've, you know, been talking about here and in previous episodes. But also there's a great big sign up form there where all you have to do is put in your email address, and then it'll ask for your first name and last name. You don't have to put that in, and all you do is put in your email address, no obligation there. And what we'll then do is we will send you a week's worth, say 5 installments of the type of videos that you would get on the premium podcast, plus one best practice document as well. So you'll get the idea of, okay, well, if I did sign up for this service, what would it really be like? What are those videos and screencasts like? I kind of like the idea of them, but would I find them useful? Well, hopefully by signing up for that, you would be able to get an idea of what exactly that content is like, how usable it is. Is it kind of at the level you're looking for? And get a real appreciation, we hope, of the value that you can get from that. So every day, getting a new internet marketing topic introduced to you in real detail, in a practical, actionable way, I hope and think is a really good idea, and you'll see real value in that. So also, there's a little special offer there that gives you a bit of a discount if you sign up in that way as well. So if you are interested in getting an idea of what our premium service is like, do just visit the homepage. Do just sign up for that service. All we do is we'll send you those 5 emails. And then at the end of that, if it's not of interest to you, we'll just leave you on our list, which mean that whenever we publish new free videos, we'll just inform you of those. So no heavy-handed, you know, sign up now, you've got to sign up now, repeating and spamming and all that kind of thing. We just want to try and make it easier to give people who are a little bit unsure of whether they want to sign up for the service or not a good idea of exactly what they would get. But of course, if you are interested, you know exactly what you want, and this sounds perfect and would be exactly the kind of training material that push you forward, you don't have to sign up for that trial. You can just go to the website and sign up there and there, nice and simply. So hopefully that's given you a bit of an update on where we are on the premium podcast. Hopefully a nice little treat for you in the fact that you can sign up and get this week's worth of content for absolutely zilch. And yeah, hopefully that'll give you a good idea of where we are. And we'll continue to give you updates on how the premium podcast is going.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Because I think it's interesting for a couple of reasons. One, because I hope that some of you will find it interesting and, you know, be prepared to sign up and become part of that community and participate in that forum and learn from those videos. But also, I think for a lot of you, it's quite an interesting process that we're going through in terms of developing a content site, developing a membership site. And I know a few of you would like to do that as well. So we'll keep you informed of some of the lessons we learn and the processes we go through and building that site.
I'm with Daniel Rowles. I've just learnt that his surname is Rowles, not Rowles.
It's only been 70 or so episodes, Andy. That's fine. I'll forgive you.
Yes, I know you will, don't I, Daniel? I'm as bad as Kevin and Kelvin, isn't it? Anyway, tracking in Google Analytics, I know you've got a few words to say on that.
Yeah, this just came out from a few conversations I've had recently. People looking at Twitter, spending lots of time and effort in tweeting and tweeting like crazy and putting out absolutely tons of tweets. A couple of points on this. First of all, my opinion of Twitter is kind of in line with my opinion of blogging, in that it's very valuable if you're actually saying something useful. And essentially, you don't need to say things absolutely constantly. So even with Twitter, where it's a more, it's not an interruptive channel, it's something you dip in and out of. I think it's definitely worth making sure that when you tweet something, you're actually adding some value or pointed some content that's useful. So I hadn't done some testing on this, looking at tweeting 5 times a day versus tweeting once a day. Actually, if the once a day tweet has got good quality on it, then you'll actually get just as many people dipping in and out of that as well. So don't feel you have to be tweeting absolutely constantly. I think it's one of the
key. It's all right to inject your personality into your tweets.
I think you have to. I think that the big mistake people make with blogs and with tweets is that they're, I think pointing to content is relevant. And the way I use it a lot of the time is to particularly, to actually just, I use it for funny information. So I'll follow half a dozen people and literally just use them to filter information for me to a certain extent.
Right.
So, yeah. For example, I follow Andy, and I'll follow Kelvin, who does the podcast as well, Tim Ferriss, a load of other people, and just allow them to send through what's relevant because they're interested in the same kind of things as me and they'll point out interesting content. But I'm also interested to know a little bit about them and what they're up to and what they're doing. So actually, if I find out that Andy is visiting somewhere and particularly likes something, actually, I do see that as relevant. I don't see that as a problem. And the thing is with Twitter, I think it's your choice to dip in and out of it. I think some people that I follow spend their entire life sending pictures and telling me what track they're listening to and things like that. I'm not so interested in that. Now and again, if they love a particular record, or that's great, but I don't want a constant flow of updates of what they're listening to through in the day. But I think that a little bit is great, and it kind of builds up. You're building a brand around a personality. And I think there's some real value in that. So I think that's good. And it can drive traffic. You've just got to make sure you keep the quality of the traffic up. Which kind of brings me on quite nicely to the point. Because when you look at how much traffic you're getting from Twitter, you need to look at two things. There's two things that are kind of missing from this. So say you're using Google Analytics. You could be using any analytics package. If you're not using an analytics package, get one installed. Go and get Google Analytics. But essentially, most of the people, or a lot of the people using Twitter aren't using twitter.com. They're using things like TweetDeck and various other tools we've talked about.
Yes.
Now, the problem with that is in analytics, that will not show up as traffic that's coming from Twitter. It will show up as direct traffic. So it will show up in your analytics as if it's just come from nowhere because Google Analytics can't tell where it's coming from at the end of the day. So we need to do something about that, and we'll come back to that in a moment. The other thing is you'll find that your tweets are cut and pasted into people's blogs and put into discussion forums and all those kind of places as well. So again, that traffic won't be coming from Twitter. It'll be coming from somewhere else. but we don't actually always assign that value to Twitter as well.
I see where you're coming from now, because if someone's on the Twitter website and they press a link that goes to your website, Google, and you've got analytics on your site, Google knows it's come from Twitter. But if it's from TweetDeck, it's just come from someone's PC somewhere. It's like direct traffic, isn't it?
Exactly. Or if it's on a blog somewhere and it's a link, you don't actually know that it's come through from that particular tweet. So there's two things to do. First of all, if you just do a search for URL tool, you'll get the Google URL tool. And what this allows you to do is, do you chuck in your link? So you put in the link you were going to link to in your tweet anyway. So it might be mywebsite.com/mypage.html before you shortened it. I'll come back to that in a second. And it gives you the opportunity to put some variables on there. So you say, what's the source of the campaign? It's my summer campaign. What's the actual method? Well, it's coming through from Twitter, and I'm going to call it test one, for example. Then it will give you a longer URL that's got all these variables appended to the end. Okay. Then what you do, you grab that and you put that into your URL shortener. So if you're using Bitly or TinyURL, one of those websites that shortens a link for you.
Yes, yes.
Because otherwise you're going to end up with this link that's going to take your entire
tweet. Or TweetDeck will do it automatically for
you. Yeah, exactly. Or TweetDeck will do it automatically.
But first you must put it through this URL tool.
Yeah. So what you're doing is you're adding in these variables so that when it goes through, even if it comes through from TweetDeck, Google will be able to identify it as being from Twitter.
Sorry, let me just backtrack. Is URL tool a Google thing?
Yes, it's brilliant. So
I think we've spoken about this before.
Yeah, we've mentioned it previously. And I think the key thing is just to try and join these things up, because what you do is you put that in and actually it will show up in Google Analytics. Under sources of traffic, it will appear as campaign traffic. Okay? So you can look it up there. The other thing to do is if you use Bitly or TinyURL, something like that, make sure you've got an account set up for doing that, because then what you can also do is you can log into your Bitly account and you can go and see actually where are the links onto this particular shortened URL coming from. So you can see that originally in your Google Analytics, it actually came through Twitter.
Yeah.
But it might have appeared in other places. It might have appeared in other people's blogs and things like that. And Bitly, when you log in, will give you a bit of an insight if it has started to appear in other places. And there was a great talk some time ago by e-consultancy, a guy called Craig Hanna, who looks after training at e-consultancy.
Yeah.
And just saying they'd done some research and basically they'd proven the fact that an awful lot of the traffic that is coming through from Twitter isn't through Twitter or any of the tools from Twitter. It actually ends up appearing in a blog or being discussed in a podcast or something else. And this link has a bit of a life of its own. So by using Bitly, you can actually track who else and where else these links are actually appearing. Now, this Google URL tool, the other thing it's really important for is emails. Because if you're just sending out an email, exactly the same thing happens in that Google can't tell where the traffic's come from.
Yes, yes.
So again, if you're putting links in your emails, use this Google URL tool to actually track through your links. And you'll just be able to track what's coming through. And obviously, in this case, you just call it email. The other thing I'd suggest is that for each of your links within your email, even if you link to the same place twice, give them a different bit of tracking code. And you can work out where in your email people are actually clicking quite easily then as
clever.
Well.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a little bit helpful.
Possibilities are endless, aren't they?
Yeah, but I just think make sure you're separating out, because actually, in reality, Twitter is probably driving more traffic than you're currently realizing. And as tweets start to appear more and more in Google and loads of other services are appearing that allow you to search through tweets and all those kind of things, people spread them out a lot more because of that. It's really important to realize the value of what it's driving to you.
Yes. Yeah.
The next thing you can do if you're looking at Google Analytics is look at advanced segmentation, which is up in the top right-hand side, and you can look at different sources of traffic against each other. So what you can do, and I've mentioned this before on a slightly different topic, but is look at, for example, all the traffic that comes through from my pay-per-click compared to all the traffic that comes through from my tweets. So I've set it up so I can track that. Which one actually offers the most value to me?
Mm-hmm.
So do I actually find that the traffic coming from Twitter is not actually turning into anything? They're coming through, reading an article and leaving. Do those people come back again and then do something in my website? So what you also need at the end of this is to actually have set up conversion tracking. There's a few other things to think about here as well, but have a look at conversion tracking in Google Analytics. Make sure you've got that set up. And then what you can end up with if you're using tracking code is you can go all the way through from tracking from end to end. So each of my different types of traffic, I can track it as it's coming through. I've got conversion code set up so I know how many people have filled in a form or bought a product or whatever it is. And I can track end to end and say, look, which one's actually offering me some value. But my one hint on this is don't get fixated on last click. And this is the big
last
problem.
Click.
Yeah, this is the problem with most analytics packages, is that they account or attribute the conversion, so somebody filling a form in, somebody buying something, to the last click. So it came from pay-per-click and they bought, or it came from Twitter and they bought and they filled in the form. But in reality, they might have been listening to a podcast for 6 months before they actually did that. And that's been one of the real drivers of engagement. So you've got to be really careful not just to go, well, pay-per-click's working, Twitter's rubbish, don't get any conversion, so I'm turning Twitter off. In reality, like all traditional marketing, there is a mix of touch points and you need to try and look at the bigger picture. Now, sometimes you can do that by using your analytics package. Google Analytics isn't fantastic for it. Something like Omniture, which is a paid for package, is obviously a lot better for doing that kind of stuff. They've got a lot more features for doing it. But there's also a qualitative thing of actually asking people, doing email surveys, speaking to some of your customers and saying, did you look at this? How often do you search? How do you search? How many pages do you look at? Have you come across anything else that we do? Have you spoken to us on the phone? And working out what all the different touch points are that actually go up to make your marketing mix and actually produce results at the end of the day. Because otherwise it's too easy just to switch a channel off, assume it's no good. And it's not the reality. And I remember just, I'm having worked with you, Andy, previously, just doing podcasting for a long period of time and trying to attribute the business directly to the podcast. Took a long time because it was 18 months probably before people were actually phoning and saying, I heard the podcast,
yes.
I want to buy something. But there are a lot of people that we didn't realize that had been listening to podcasts that were coming through. And I think that helps build trust and engagement. And a lot of the things for social media, and I think blogging, podcasting are particularly good for this, are building trust over the long term, building
Absolutely.
A brand.
Yeah.
And so many companies have been, you know, for years, the big brands, the FMCG, so the fast moving consumer goods, the kind of things, you know, you go and buy in the supermarket and you don't really know why you buy them. They're good at doing because they build brand over a period of time and they've really mastered this art. And yet, for some reason through digital marketing, we've just completely forgotten about this.
It's the multiple touch thing, isn't it? It's where you're being exposed to something multiple times, and after a certain sort of threshold, it's kind of in there subconsciously.
Yeah, and you get all kinds of things. You can look at Net Promoter Score, for example, which kind of allows you to say, how likely is someone to recommend your business? And there's all different ways of measuring this, but at the most basic level, I think one of the good things is just going to speak to some of your customers, do some surveys, ask people what they think, ask what the touch points have been, and you start to build a picture over time and actually work out which of your marketing is actually valuable.
Well, Dan, some great stuff there. So basically, tracking in Google Analytics, tracking in Google Analytics. I particularly like that URL tool. I must take another look at that, actually.
Fantastic.
Daniel Rowles, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Andy.
Sorry, Daniel Rowles, thank you very much indeed. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150, and you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.